Who is this child? He's also referred to as the cornerstone. In Psalm 118, verse 22, it says, "The stone which the builders refused has become the head stone of the corner." A cornerstone was a large stone. It was that stone was meticulously prepared to make sure that it was square. Everything was built off of that cornerstone. That was the first stone laid, and everything else was built off of that cornerstone. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2 quickly. This isn't on the overhead, but Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to look at 18 through 21. Ephesians 2:18, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple in the Lord." Jesus Christ, that little baby in a manger, is the chief cornerstone. Scripture also refers to him as a wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. This is found in Isaiah 9:6. This is a prophecy, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And this verse is loaded with a description of who this child is. Who's this baby in a manger? His name is Wonderful. And his birth, of course, the virgin birth, it's wonderful. His life, a sinless life. His death, his sacrificial death on our behalf and in our place. His resurrection, his ascension, it's wonderful. He has all of the answers for life and for godliness. That song, "His name is Wonderful." You think about who Jesus Christ is. That little baby in a manger, he's wonderful. He's the counselor. He has all of the answers for life and for godliness. You know, people are looking for answers in a bottle, in a pill, in a relationship, a human relationship. Where are answers found? In our counselor. That little baby in a manger is wonderful. He's the counselor. He alone can work things for man's good and for God's glory. He's the everlasting Father. This little baby in a manger is God. God in the flesh. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the only one that can offer true peace and everlasting peace. You cannot find it anywhere else. This world is searching for peace, and it's found as a baby in a manger, the Prince of Peace. He's the mighty God. He's the master of everything. His name is Wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. He's wonderful. Who is this little child, this little baby in a manger? He's the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That little baby in a manger, who is this child? He's the Creator, the Sustainer. This little baby is the Creator of that world. Can you imagine? And He spoke the world into existence. He's the Creator. John chapter 1. Verse 3 says, "All things were made by Him," referring to Jesus Christ, "and without Him was not anything made that was made." He's the Creator. Colossians 1, 16 and 17, "For by Him," by Jesus Christ, "all things were created that are in heaven and are in earth and upon the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things consist." Everything is held together. That little baby in a manger is the Creator, spoke this world into existence, and He's the Sustainer. He holds all things together. Who is this child? This child is also called the Door. John chapter 10, verse 7, "Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." This child is not a door. He is the door. He's the only entrance into heaven. He's the only way to heaven. He's the only way that our sins can be forgiven. He's the only way that we can have a right relationship with God. He's the only doorway into eternity in heaven with God. He said, I am the door. That little baby in a manger was the door. He's also the great high priest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. You go back to that, to the Old Testament, and the high priest was a mediator between man and God. Ordinary man could not enter into the Holy of Holies, and the high priest only once a year, but Jesus Christ is our high priest. He's not only the sacrifice, but He was the sacrificer. And as our high priest, He's our mediator between us and God. I don't need to go to some other priest to be a mediator for me. And when, as a believer, when can you go to God? When can you go before the throne of grace? Anytime. He's our great high priest. Who's this? Who is this little child? Who's this baby in a manger? He is the I Am. John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. How can this man in his early 30s say before Abraham was, I am? How can he say that? Because he's the self-existent one. He's the eternal Son of God. He's the I Am. That baby in a manger existed before He was born. Before His birth, He's the eternal Son of God. But He enters humanity humbly as a babe in a manger. How many people understand these things that we've looked at? When we celebrate Christmas, how many recognize and realize that He is all of these and more? And what is Christmas? What's it about? He's the I Am. He's the image of God. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. He's the image of God. John 14:9, Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? He's telling Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why? Because He is the image of God. He is the express image of God. Who is this child? He is the King. He's the King. In Zechariah 9:9, it says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. This is a prophecy about Jesus Christ. He's a king. And not only that, He is a king of the Jews, He's referred to. Matthew 2:2. So saying, where is He? This is the Magi. The wise men, where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east, and we're come to worship Him. He's the King of the Jews. He's King eternal. Luke chapter 1, verse 33 is up there. I'm going to go back and read verse 26 through 33. It says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob how long? Forever. And of his kingdom, there shall be no end. He's the eternal king. He's the king eternal. Scripture also tells us that he is the King of Kings. Who's this baby in a manger? He's a king, yes. He's the king of the Jews. He's a king eternal. He's the King of Kings. Revelation 17, 14, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of Kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Who's this baby in a manger? He is the King of Kings. He's the Lamb of God. John 1, 29, the next day, John, this is referring to John the Baptist, he saw Jesus coming unto him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." Again, you think of those Old Testament sacrifices made over and over and over again, and they could never take away sin. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away sin, but Jesus Christ, this child, Hebrews 10, 11 through 14 says, "And every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." This little baby in a manger is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. One time, one sacrifice was sufficient. This little baby is the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And again, he's not a door, he's not a way, he's not a truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through him. That little baby in a manger is your only access into heaven. He is the only way. There's no other way. Not all roads lead to heaven. Who is this child? Who is this baby? He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's your only way to have a right relationship with God. He's also the light of the world. In John 8, 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." When you think of light, I don't tell a lot of people, well, there's quite a few here today, I'm scared of the dark. I mean, my wife hides on me because I can't see in the dark, and she jumps out scared. She thinks it's funny. I don't like it. I like to have a light. Because what's light do? It drives away darkness. That light drives away darkness. And light exposes sin. It drives away darkness. It illuminates. It guides. There's safety, security. Don't tell anybody I'm not afraid or I'm afraid of the dark. But what is Jesus? He's the light of the world. But you know, men love darkness rather than light. But he came. He came to expose sin. And he came to give us life. And without light, there's no life. Without sunlight, there's no life. Without the light of Jesus, the Son of God, there is no eternal, there's no spiritual life. He is the light of the world. He is also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, "And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." You go back to Old Testament and you know that the Messiah was to come through the tribe of Judah. And there's prophecies that Jesus Christ is a Lion of the tribe of Judah. Who is this child? He's the Lord of all. Acts 10:36, "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all." And you know, a day is coming where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. For some, that day will be too late. Because when you pass from this life, there is no doctrine of second chance. You trust Him as your Savior before death or rapture of the church. The day will come, and there's no atheists in hell. They'll all recognize that Jesus is Lord, but it'll be too late. He's Lord of all. He's Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians 2:8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known, if they had known Him, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. He's the Lord of glory. He's the Lord of lords. Again, Revelation 17:14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome, for He is the Lord of lords, He is the King of kings, and they that are with Him shall be called the chosen and faithful. He is the Lord of lords. He is the Lord of righteousness. Jeremiah 23:6. In His days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is the name whereby He shall be called the Lord our righteousness. He's the Lord our righteousness. Who's this child? Who's this baby in a manger? He's a man of sorrows. Isaiah 53:3, another prophecy about Jesus, says He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. This little baby that in a manger would be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He would suffer and He would die. The prophet Isaiah foretells of the suffering servant. Why does He suffer? What's the purpose of it? He was wounded for our transgressions, and He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. Why did this little baby become the man of sorrows? So He could pay the penalty for our sin. Because by His stripes we are healed. Who's this little child? Who's this baby in a manger? Who is it? He's the Redeemer. In Job 19:25, Job looked forward. And he said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." Believer, do you know that your Redeemer lives? Does your Redeemer live? He's alive. Who's this child? He's our Redeemer. He came in redemption. He bought us off the slave market of sin. He paid the penalty for our sin to purchase us out of the slave market and redeem us and reconcile us to God. This little child is the Redeemer. He died a substitutionary death to pay the penalty for my sin and for your sin, to reconcile you to God. This little baby in a manger is the resurrection and the life. John 11, as Jesus went to Bethany and Lazarus had died, and His sisters are weeping. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." This little baby in a manger is the resurrection and the life. And you know, the resurrection chapter in 1 Corinthians 15 reminds us of the reality of the resurrection, the fact that Jesus did conquer death, and the results of the resurrection. For the believer, the grave has no victory, and death has no sting. And we had a funeral here yesterday. There's going to be a funeral here Friday. And there's time of mourning. And there's sadness because of separation. But there's that, we don't have to mourn as those who have no hope, do we? Because that little baby in a manger is the resurrection and the life. 1 Thessalonians, we don't have to mourn as those who have no hope. Who's this baby in a manger? He's the Savior of the world. As Scott read this passage this morning, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Why do we need a Savior? Who needs a Savior? Do you need a Savior? I do. And Jesus Christ is that Savior. He's the Savior of the world. He is the seed of the woman. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, Adam and Eve had sinned against God. They were driven out of the garden. They began to die physically. They were dead spiritually. They were separated from God. But there's this promise, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This promise of a deliverer that would come through the seed of the woman. Who is this child? He is that promised deliverer. He is of the seed of the woman, born of a virgin. He is the seed of the woman. He is the son of David. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Why is that important? Why is that genealogy important? Because we go back to the Old Testament, we see that the deliverer would come through the Davidic line. And he would sit on the throne of David for eternity. He's the son of David. He is the son of God. Matthew 2:15, and was there until the death of Herod. He is in Egypt, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. God would call his son out of Egypt. He's the son of David. He's the son of God. He's the son of the highest. Luke 1:32, he shall be great and shall be called the son of the highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He's the son, S-U-N, of righteousness. But unto you that fear my name shall be the son of righteousness. Arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. He's the son of righteousness. Malachi 4:2. Who is this child? Who's this baby in a manger? He's the true light. John 1:9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that comes into the world. Jesus is the true light. Not only that, he's also the true vine. John 15:1, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. You know, you think of a branch coming off of that vine. A branch can't live, let alone produce fruit, unless it's attached to the vine. He's the true vine. That baby in a manger is the Word that became flesh. In John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I think of that little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, that child in a manger. He is all of this and more. Who is this child? Around the globe, people are celebrating Christmas. And they're putting up decorations. They're buying each other gifts. Why? Why are they doing it? And a good majority of people don't even recognize why we're celebrating Christmas. And many say, okay, yeah, it's this child was born, Jesus was born, but who is he? And why are we celebrating Christmas? Who is this child? As we've walked through all of these things, let's come down, and here's where it gets really important. Who is this child? I can stand up here and say that this child, this little baby in a manger, he is my Savior, he's my Redeemer, he's my Intercessor, he's my Lord, he's my King. All the way through, he is the King. He is the way, the truth, the life. He is the Savior. This child is a gift that God sent over 2,000 years ago. And without this child, there is no hope. If you haven't put your faith in Jesus Christ, there's no hope. You're an enemy of God. You'll spend an eternity apart from Him. So in November of 1990, He became my Savior. He was the Savior. But in November of 1990, He became my Savior. He became my King. He was always the King. But He became my King. Because that's when I already knew I was a sinner. But I put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ alone, that little child who who is the eternal Son of God. I put my faith and my trust in him alone. He became my Savior. I was no longer separated from God. He wasn't just the Redeemer, he was my Redeemer. And I was given eternal life. The question for you today is he yours? Is he your Savior? Is he your Redeemer? Is he your King? Is he your Lord? People all over the globe are celebrating Christmas. And many for the wrong reason. And many will even recognize that, okay, he's the Son of God, he is the Savior, but it hasn't become personal. They've never put their trust in him as their Savior. So this Christmas, as we celebrate Christmas, who is that little baby in a manger? Who is that child? And we've just scratched the surface. Keep digging, keep looking at God's Word and His description of who this child is. But is He your Savior? Have you put your trust and your faith in Him? It's a sad thing for people to be celebrating Christmas and not even knowing what Christmas is about, what it's truly about, who this child is, who this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes is. My prayer for you today is that you'll stop and consider who this child is and make it personal. If he is not your Savior, stop and consider that today, because God's Word's clear. We're all sinners. Our sin separates us from God. So God sent forth his Son, born of a virgin, to live a sinless life, to die in my place and in my stead, to die in my behalf, to pay the penalty for my sin, that if Steve Berg would believe, he'd have everlasting life, sins forgiven. And for me, that was in November of 1990. How about you? Who is this child? Is he your Savior? If not, settle that issue today. Don't put it off. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Why are you celebrating Christmas? Who is this child? Is he your Savior? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for, again, just the opportunity to just scratch the surface of who this child was that was born in a manger, the eternal Son of God, who came to this earth to die on our behalf. Lord, I just pray if there's anyone here who is entering this Christmas season, and it's not personal, your Son is not their Savior, that they would today put their faith and their trust in you alone. Apart from that, there's no hope. We're without you, separated from you for an eternity. But again, thank you for that gift that was wrapped in swaddling clothes, the Savior of the world. And it can be made personal by grace through faith in him alone for our salvation. We praise you for that. Now, as we do go our separate ways today, we pray for safety. Pray that our time together with family, with friends, that you would be the center of those gatherings, that we wouldn't forget about who this child is. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jerry.